everybody, to today's podcast. And I'm delighted to have another in our author series with Kira Conlon. You'll find her online at kiraconlon.com. And she's also on Twitter under the name Kira Conlon and on Facebook. You can go to her Facebook page at Coach Kira Conlon. Kira and I have known each other for quite a number of years. And what you'll notice from her website is it's especially helpful because she talks about productivity tips. She's a productivity coach. She also delivers events. She teaches people. She coaches and mentors people in productivity. And I think in today's world, where we're all trying to get more done with less time, it's perfect that she's actually now brought out a new book. The book has been launched and it's actually called From Chaos to Control. You'll find it in all good booksellers here in Ireland. You'll also find it online at amazon.co.uk, and also it will be at amazon.com. Published by Orpen Press, and I'm thrilled to have the opportunity to talk to you today, Kira, to get a little bit of insight for our listeners here about some tips and things that you cover in the book.
Thanks, Krishna. Great to speak to you again today.
Now, in your book, you cover an overview of 7 key steps. I'm interested in you giving us a little quick overview of those 7 key steps, but also because there are lots of different people who have a view in terms of how to get more things done in less time. But how did you get to actually identify those 7 steps as your model for productivity in the work that you do?
The book, Krishna, is about helping people with their overwhelm and stress. We're all suffering from too much stress these days, with having too much to do and not enough time, as you mentioned. And it's about working towards a greater work-life balance that we all need to strive for. Now, personally, my story is I came from a place of great disorganization and chaos in my life. I was never naturally organized. And my first introduction to productivity was with David Allen's Getting Things Done methodology. And I implemented that and I found that very powerful, and it made very positive changes in my life. But gradually, I suppose, I started to realize that it wasn't enough in itself, that there were other things that were very important that need to be considered as well. And that's these other parts of my book. Each section of my book would cover these things that I speak about. So what I'm talking about is it's very important to have a good vision and to set goals, because there's no point in being busy working all the time if you're not working towards your goals or working towards a greater future. So that would be the first section of the book. Then I move on to talk about awareness and how we need to understand who we are, how we personally work, and also how we currently spend our time, because people think they're being effective and productive and they're busy working 10 hours a day, but again, they may not be working on the right things. So it's important to be aware of that. And then other things that are important is the technology that you use, positivity and optimism. I speak a lot about this on my blog as well, because I think this is a very important element in getting things done. They say that optimists live longer, they're healthier, they're happier, but also that optimists are much more productive. So there's a bit about that in the book as well. And then, of course, the last section in the book being the most important, how do we keep maintaining all of this? How do we keep up all the productive habits that you will learn as you read the book?
Well, I'd love to come back and explore that a little later in our conversation. But let's go back to the beginning. You were talking about having a vision. And I know a number of people who will be listening to this be working inside of organizations, and they would often look at a vision in the context of perhaps their personal growth, or they look at it in terms of a context for their business strategy. Where do they want the business to go? How does this fit into the idea of personal productivity? Can you give us some tips?
Sure. Well, how it fits in is it works for both personal goals and professional goals. So we need to start off with knowing where you want to be in life. So having that clarity of vision for the future, knowing what you want to achieve, only then can you know if the work that you're doing every day is getting you closer to achieving that. So I could be busy working all day, I could be writing articles, but if I'm writing articles on cooking and pets, that's not helping me towards my vision, which is to be a blogger and a writer on productivity and personal organization. So getting that clarity is the first step. You know, all high achievers or sports people are very clear about what they want to achieve. And that's what it's about. It's just having that vision, the clarity to know where you're going. And that's the first step.
So in terms of moving through that, having actually developed your vision, and I know that you then go through a number of chapters, I was struck in chapter 3 when you talk about having a system. And actually, some people may have heard the idea that a system is about saving you time, energy, and money. And when you actually look at that system, you had 5 key steps. Tell our listeners what the things are and the actions that they could take in terms of putting in place a system that would work for them.
Sure. Now, I think the system you talk about is maybe David Allen's Getting Things Done, and that's a workflow system. So he describes these 5 steps that are essential to keep everything in order and to stay calm within your work life. The first step is about collection. So how do we get started if you want to get started with personal productivity? So you sit down at your desk and you need to collect everything in the one place. So you have different places where you collect. One is your in-tray, where you collect your incoming paper. One is your inbox. You may get faxes or voicemails or anything coming your way. Another place that you collect is your head. You collect ideas in your head. So this system is about getting all of those things into your workflow. So put on your desk, take everything and put it into your in tray. Your inbox again, everything's coming in. So you need to start the next step, which is processing. So let's take the paperwork first of all. So processing means deciding what something is and what you need to do with it. So what I mean by that is, very often people have clutter because they don't really make a decision. They move paper around their desk from one place to the other, and you don't actually decide what needs to be done with this. So that's the whole processing phase. And when it comes to your email, your processing is when you look at the email and you decide what needs to be done next with this. So there's systems you can implement also to decide what am I doing next. And there's one by a woman called Barbara Hemphill, and she calls it the FAT system. So that stands for file, act, or trash. So when you're looking at your email, you're deciding what needs to be done with this email. Do I need to do anything with it? If not, you can bin it or trash it. If there is some action that has to be done with it, well, what needs to be done? Is this an appointment or a meeting with somebody? If it is something that has to be done on a specific date or time, then of course it goes into your calendar. If not, then it'll have to go into your task management system. So you may keep your tasks in Outlook. You may keep your tasks in a program like Evernote, or there's lots of great apps now out there, things like Remember the Milk, Todoodle. And these are all like to-do lists, but they're more effective than your standard to-do list that you would write out in your notebook. So this is what the processing phase is about, deciding what needs to be done. And then that goes into the organization of organizing all of your stuff. So you need to have this in place. It's no good going around with all these brilliant ideas in your head if you don't actually plan them into your system, into your calendar, or again, have them in a task list where you can access them when you're ready to work on them. So the system then, so far we have you collect, you process, you organize it all. And then another very important phase is reviewing it. So we put all these things into our calendar, into our task list, but regularly we need to scan all of these to make sure things are moving forward, to decide what's urgent, what needs to be pushed forward. And people who would use Getting Things Done would have a day of the week where they do a bigger style review where everything gets looked at, your projects, your goals, and how can we, again, move them forward. So the review is a very important element. And then, of course, the other part of the whole system is, of course, the do. We need to do things as well. And we need to make choices about when we do something. What's our priorities? How much time do I have to do certain jobs? What's my energy like? So also another important element in productivity is knowing your own personal energy. When do I work better, in the morning or in the evening? So you're not going to take on a very brain-taxing task just after lunch, let's say. So that might be a time for filing. Actually, that's the F part of the FAT system, the filing. So the other stuff, does anything need to be filed? You need to have an effective filing system. So that's really an overview of those main five steps. And of course, there's other things involved. And it may sound complicated, but once you start to implement these things, it really has a positive effect on your personal organization and what you can achieve in life.
Let's take a little deeper dive then in a particular area that I know that many people will be really finding the situation for themselves in terms of having too much email. I think there's almost a sense that if you receive an email, you need to respond to it immediately. What are your three top tips for us, looking at the systems that you talk about in the book and the steps that you suggest that people take in terms of managing that email overload?
Sure. Well, the first thing, Krishna, as you say, is people have the tendency to react. They're in react mode always. So an email comes in and that's the first thing that takes their attention. And we have to totally move away from that. You think of, you're in control of your workload. You should be working from your calendar and not from your inbox. So you decide what's getting done at what time. So moving from there, what I'm trying to say with this is that you should block, process your emails. So you decide at what time of the day I'm going to check emails. So most people will do it twice or maybe three times a day, that they go to their inbox and say, okay, now I'm ready to process. And you can use that system that I talk about, the file actor, trash, the FAT system. So you look at your inbox and you say, what needs to be done with this? Do I need to act on it now? If it's an appointment, put it into your calendar. If not, put it into your task list. And if nothing needs to be done with this email, if somebody is just informing you of something, delete it straight away. So that's the first thing, is you're processing at times that you decide you're ready to look at your email. The other thing that I think will help people in a big way is turning off notifications. Again, don't react to an email or to somebody sending you a message on Twitter or posting something on Facebook. Turn all of this off on your phone. Don't get notifications of any of these things, because this is constantly dividing your attention and disturbing your focus. And if you want to achieve anything in life, you really need to focus on things that matter. So process your email, turn off notifications. Another thing that I advise people to do is to unsubscribe to a lot of these email newsletters you may have once wanted to read. Unsubscribe to them and go to the websites when you're ready to go to them. So have a kind of an audit and look at where are all your emails coming from. There's lots of other little things you can do, like you can use rules and alerts. If you use Outlook, and other email programs would have similar rules to it. So you decide what to do with an email as it's coming into your inbox. You can move it directly into a folder. So this can help reduce the amount of email that you're getting daily into the inbox.
And the work that you do with people in terms of the coaching and mentoring, and particularly when you're working with people inside of organisations, how feasible is it for them to get to that, what seems to be almost elusive, when you see people saying, oh, I've got to a zero inbox for my email today?
It actually can happen very quickly, and I can do it with people within an hour or two. Now, the reason why I say that is because I actually experienced recently, I was with a professor in a university, and he had 12,000 emails, but not just 12,000 emails. He had a similar amount of, let's say, 11,500 unread emails. So that was really probably the most extreme I have ever seen. But the reality of that is the majority of them are defunct. They're no longer, there's nothing you need to do with them. So what we do is we decide on a date, let's say a month ago or 2 months ago, and you take anything older than that and you put it into a folder. So it's there, it can be retrieved or searched if you need, there may be something in there. at a later stage you think you might need, and then you work with a smaller amount. And then it's literally that system again that I tell you about. You take each email and you make a decision, and you do not leave it sitting in your inbox. You make that decision: do I file it, does something need to be acted on, or do I delete it? And you have to get into that habit.
I think when people think about having a zero inbox, they're almost concerned that actually you'd get them to delete it. But it's nice to say that actually it's almost like a comfort blanket there, Kira. You've got them in another folder.
That's right, exactly. You know, I try and get people now to go back over that folder and maybe schedule 10 minutes to again do that process where we delete. So you're ultimately trying to delete things that aren't there. But yes, if you do have that fear that something might be missed. But again, people keep emails for the wrong reasons. People keep emails because they want to keep the email address. No, we put that in your contacts. People keep emails because there might be somebody's address at the bottom of it in their signature. Again, that can go into your contacts. So, you know, you start to identify and work with people and see and make them realize that they're doing things for the wrong reasons and that there's a more efficient way to store this information that they're keeping in these emails.
I actually had a boss many, many years ago, and he took an approach actually before even looking at email in terms of just basic files. He had an assistant who would basically go through his files every 6 months, and it would be scheduled into the calendar, and everything that actually they hadn't originated. So if he was being copied in on something, he actually got all of that shredded because he took the approach of the originator would have the original files.
Fantastic.
I thought that was an interesting thing because otherwise, you know, your emails can get overloaded in terms of files and content,
gotcha.
But so can actually physical files as well. I know that there's the idea of the paperless office, and many people still haven't moved to that either. I think it's increasingly with us, but you know, it could be just a very heavy hard drive we have then.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. So you're constantly moving towards that, trying to reduce on this overload and clutter that we store everywhere.
So as you work with people, Kira, and let's say we go through the book, and what I really liked is that at the end of each chapter, you've given some suggestions of action so we can take. So, you know, it makes it very, very practical for people to do that. What are the things that we can do to make sure that we maintain those new habits? Because there's a lot of behavioral change that you're talking about in the book, new ways of doing things. How can we make it stick?
Right. Well, the important thing is once you've implemented this system, it takes some time and it takes some dedication, but it is extremely powerful. And for me personally, it was life-changing. But so once you implement it and you realize, okay, this is having a huge effect on my focus and my ability to achieve things, it's easier to maintain when you see that. But of course, we're all human. And of course, there are times where you have too much work to do and you're not able to keep up and maintain everything in the right way. So, but the beauty of it is once you have a system set up, it's easier to jump back on or get back on track with things. But in creating any habits, Krishna, it's all about starting small. So if you need to change a habit, so let's say one of the things that has helped me also is getting up early. And if I want to create a habit of getting up early, I do it regularly. I commit to doing it every day. And gradually, maybe if I want to start getting up at 5 o'clock every morning, but I start with getting up at 6:30, and I'll gradually make that earlier and earlier. So with any habit, trying to introduce a habit of exercise, which is also actually very important for productivity, and you might think it's totally unrelated, but Richard Branson was asked once what was his number one productivity tip, and he said it was working out. So exercise is a very good habit to start to encourage ourselves to do a little bit every day. So you start small, either a 10-minute walk or run every day. You do it every day rather than a couple of times a week. And then you gradually increase on these habits. And if you are trying to implement or change things, it's also important to not try too much of this at the one time. So start with trying to change one habit and sticking with it And also focusing on why you are doing it, focusing on the outcome, the positive outcome that you're going to get when you achieve what you're working towards.
So I want to turn the tables onto you now, Kira, as we wrap up our conversation. It's no mean feat to be able to author a book and manage the process in terms of getting it to market, you know, working with your publisher to do so. I know that you've got a family as well. You've got a busy household with the children. You've got a practice in terms of your coaching practice that's busy as well. What were some of the distractions you've had to overcome, particularly, let's say, take the example of authoring and getting the book to market? And what are some of the things that you've learned and perhaps some tips? Because whether it be authoring a book, it could be, you know, one of the things that people want to do is write more content for their blogs or write their newsletters. So writing means a lot to many people who are listening to this today. And that's often a complaint, is like, I can't find the time to. And for you, you've done a huge thing, which is author a book. Some of us struggle with getting an article out on for a newsletter or a blog post, as I said.
Yeah. Well, I suppose what I did was there was a time where it took me probably about 2 years, Krishna, to write the book. But in the second year of writing it, I remember asking myself the question one day, and it was, what one thing would I like to achieve by the end of the year to make this my best year? What one thing is really going to make a difference? And the answer to that was finish the book. So that was when it kind of took on legs, let's say, and I really started to focus on it. So that was my priority. When I made that decision, it became my priority. Yeah, there were lots of other things in life I want to achieve and lots of other goals, but the book became my priority. And that's what we need to do. We need to make a single focus, let's say, and just focus on this one thing that we really want to achieve. And that ties in with your goals. Whatever you want to achieve, is it getting you closer to your goals? And for that year, the book became my number one goal. So how I then achieved it was by having positive habits. And again, exercise, I thoroughly think it does give you the energy to do more. Getting up early is definitely one of my secrets, because a lot of people, they work during the day, you come home, you're too tired in the evening to exercise or to do anything else, to write or to any of the other things that you want to do in your life. So I started to get up at 6 o'clock, and that gave me an hour before my children got up to do my exercise or to do yoga or meditate or journal or whatever it is you want to do. So that for me was definitely one of the most positive things I did for myself, that getting up early habit. The other thing that was important for me is clearing the clutter. I can't work unless things are organized, if my desk is untidy. So when I get off track or when I feel like I'm not achieving or doing the things I need to do, I just do a blitz, clear everything, review everything. I know then that I don't have to worry about all of the tasks that I have. It's all inside my system. It's in my calendar. It's in my task list. And that allows me to focus more on what's important. But really what it comes down to is what I said, is knowing what you want. Do you really want to do this? A lot of people have lists of goals that they want to achieve, but they're not getting there because probably it's not actually a priority for them at the moment. So if you really want something, you need to make it your number one priority.
Well, thank you so much for giving us a personal view of how you've got things done. I'm delighted today to have brought to you a conversation with Kira Conlon, author of Chaos to Control, A Practical Guide to Getting Things Done. You'll find her online at kiraconlon.com. As I mentioned before, you'll find her on Twitter and also at Facebook. And you can find the book in bookstores across Ireland, but you'll also find it on amazon.com and, of course, at the publisher's site at orpenpress.com, a non-fiction publisher here in Ireland. Congratulations again, Kira, and thanks also for sharing us with us today some very practical tips.
Thank you very much.
For more of the podcasts that we do and webinars with authors and authorities from around the globe to actually help you grow your business through digital communications, then you can find me online at krishnaday.com.